You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 28th, 2022, President Biden today urging Congress to put, quote, politics aside. Yeah, put politics aside and pass the reconciliation package while admitting his bill is far from perfect and a compromise. Does include everything I've been pushing for since I got into office. But now Senator Joe Manchin is on board with him, coming to an agreement with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. And this is going to basically make sure that it goes through. This is an inflation buster. They want to tell you, and they're using the title, the inflation package, build back package. And even Biden smiled, said it kind of looks a little bit like our earlier build back better plan, but it's a little different. And plus, we have Joe Manchin on our side now. And there's a gnashing of teeth among Republicans and probably members of West Virginia as to why Manchin decided to go along with this when he said, I will not support any more money going to Green Deal pie in the sky. But apparently there was an offer made to him that if you will go along with this, then we'll go ahead and make sure you get a pipe permit to take fuel out of West Virginia and deliver it to neighboring states. President Biden also reacting to today's GDP report, saying it's no surprise the economy is slowing down. I'm glad he acknowledges it's no surprise. We all saw it coming. But they will not acknowledge it's a recession. The official definition of recession is the gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure of all of our goods and services produced across our nation, shrank by 0.9% in the last 3 months. And that means when you have two quarters of back-to-back reductions in GDP, as we did the first quarter, that is officially a recession. But Biden wants to redefine it, saying, oh, no, that's not really a recession. And he's got his minions in the White House doing their spin machine. We'll get into that in more detail coming up in the next hour, the next segment, actually. And then again, this deal that Manchin agreed to, it does spend something like $369 billion on climate change programs. Now, it's less than what the previous plan was, so maybe you can say, well, it's not as much. Did I say $369 million? I meant to say billion. $369 billion on climate change programs. It's about $8 to $9 billion less. Whoopie-doo. How's that going to go for you? Nothing. President Biden did just conclude his phone call with the Premier of China. They lasted about 2 hours. No official word yet on exactly what they were discussing. But it began Thursday morning earlier today, the fifth they've had since Biden took office, lasting 2 hours and 17 minutes. They say it's all part of our effort to maintain and deepen lines of communication. Well, at the same time, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, says she's going to go to Taiwan. That's against Biden's wishes, against our U.S. intel, saying this is not a good time to do that, but she's going to do it anyway. I'm upset with her doing it in the face of those two sources, especially our U.S. intel. I'm in favor of her doing it because the Chinese say, you better not come. I don't want any Chinese leader telling our U.S. representatives where they can or cannot go. In the meantime, the Chinese Defense Ministry ratcheting up its rhetoric, threatening to aim new missiles at American planes and aircraft carriers near Taiwan if Pelosi goes through with her visit to the island next month. The LA Times, a longtime advocate of advocacy for illegal aliens in the U.S., sounding the alarm on mass immigration, admitting this is not working out the way they thought it would. No kidding. Oh, ABC, no, I take it back. Fox put out a piece saying the Mega Millions lottery jackpot ballooning to more than $1 billion and several facts you need to know about that $1 billion in the lotto. I'm looking all through. I don't see how do you guarantee you can win. I'm looking. I can see how the cash option could pay out $602 million. How do you win? It doesn't say, but I do know this. If you don't buy a ticket, you don't have a chance.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And all those things I didn't say.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're not going to be in a recession, in my view. The employment rate is still one of the lowest we've had in history. It's in the 3.6 area. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to steady growth. And we'll see some coming down. But I don't think we're going to, God willing, I don't think we're going to see a recession.
God willing, that was Joe Biden the other day, and his voice sounding a little hoarse, still recovering from, at that time, from COVID, but apparently in great shape now. But his remarks about, I don't think we're going to see, well, God willing, we're not going to see a recession. Dagan McDowell is a Fox News analyst. Now, I played this bite yesterday, but believe me, it's worth playing a second time. Because when you hear Joe Biden say, God willing, we're not going to have a recession, here was the response from Dagan McDowell.
The American people know the hardship they're facing, and it would best be expressed through some hand gestures that I'm not allowed to make on national TV. But when Joe Biden says, God willing, that's really all the White House is left with. They're just going to sit around and maybe pray that we don't wind up in a recession, because their economic policies from day one, which they laid out on the campaign trail, are literally dumpster hot dish, garbage goulash.
Dumpster hot dish, garbage goulash. Should they laid that out on the first day, and she's right about that. And, of course, then today, well, the chickens came home to roost, didn't they? The latest GDP numbers, our gross domestic national product of all of our goods and services produced, fell by 0.9%. That is the second quarter in a row we've had a reduction and a loss in GDP by any economic explanation. If you were in college and you were asked on an essay or on a test to tell them what is the definition of recession, it's very simple. You have two back-to-back quarters showing a slowing of growth and rising inflation and folks not buying as much, not as many goods being produced, and that is a recession. But not, Larry, you're trying to stick to the official definition. You know the story. Figures don't lie, but figurers do. That's probably what we're seeing right here, right now with the Biden administration. I mean, the facts are right in front of them. I mean, the numbers are there. The numbers are very clear. The numbers cannot be denied. Then what can you do? Well, you can redefine the word recession. And they even got Janet Yellen to get on board with them to say that it's not a recession. It's, you know, that's not really true. That's not the real economic. This is supposedly a learned economist, and this is much like the Supreme Court justice we now have on the court, who during her nomination proceeding could not define what a woman is. And yet when she was being inaugurated in to the Supreme Court, she said, I'm thankful for my mother, and I'm a mother kid. I mean, went on about how she's a mother. She knew what a mother was, which means that's a woman. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Now that's a birth person or something of that nature. I mean, I cannot stay up with all this. Can you? They keep changing verbs and nouns. The only clear thing we've had from this administration was the other day when VP Harris, of all people, VP Harris at a convention said, my name is Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. Wonder how that went over with the progressives. Well, we would rather you call yourself something else. So would I. But anyway, that's what she did. So now we're in the process of how do we re-describe what's going on in our nation right now. Well, to that extent, let me give you the explanation that you're getting from the White House. And this is a, make sure I get the right name on him, because they brought so many people out of the woodwork. Hang on here. I've got him right here. I just want to make sure I get the right name. Jared Bernstein. He's one of the members of the White House Economic Council. There's several. They've been out. Now they brought Jared out because previous spokespeople for the White House, they weren't able to push the message through. So he was asked the other day, even before the GDP came out, just yesterday or maybe earlier this morning, what do you think everyone will be doing about the GDP when the numbers come out?
What I think every economic analyst is going to be looking at is getting under the hood of this GDP report. You know, in the first quarter, GDP had a negative handle, and it was brought down by inventories and net exports. Some of the key components of underlying economic growth, especially consumer spending and business investment, were actually quite positive. Together, those represent over 80% of GDP. Inventories actually went up in the first quarter. They just didn't go up as fast as they did in the prior quarter. So there's a lot of complicated moving parts here.
Yeah, and they're going to make it more complicated. They start throwing all these words in and everything else. The bottom line is, do you or do you not have a recession? No. That's not really the official definition of a recession. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, does not speak in Washingtonese language. He delivers it straight from the hip.
After 18 months, we know what President Biden stands for. If you don't know by now, you're thick as a brick. He believes in bigger government, higher taxes, more spending, more debt, more regulation, open borders, a weaker military, and turning cops into social workers. And those policies have hurt the American people deeply. But in no respect, none, has President Biden hurt the American people more than in their pocketbooks. Inflation, which is a direct result of the president's policies, is a cancer on the American dream. And it is rampant. It is unrestrained.
You want to know how bad it is to echo his remarks and to emphasize it? I'd mentioned the last hour a piece posted on the CNN webpage. How the hell it got on there? Somebody slipped up. They let something like this get on there. Or maybe they're trying to prove, hey, we're going to be a real journalistic association going forward. Yeah, right. Just like my boots-on-the-ground reporter commented in Chicago, Andrew reported yesterday, referenced Chris Cuomo trying to say, I'm going to try to be a fair reporter when I join News Nation. He said, that will happen when Ted Nugent quits eating steak. And I agree. But CNN had put up on its page a story about a woman by the name of Anna Duran. And she, late last year, lost her job. The price of eggs at that time suddenly jumped to $7.99 a dozen. Price of an avocado going up at her local store. In June, it cost her $94 to fill her gas tank when it had cost her $50 the year before. And, of course, if you go back to 2 years before, when Trump was in office, it was even less, even despite the high taxes in California, state taxes, state fuel taxes. They point out that right now she is in part of a region known as the Inland Empire in Riverside, California, which saw a 9.4% annual inflation rate in May, one of the highest in the nation. People from big cities moving from them to neighboring counties that would be a little bit more affordable, like they thought Riverside would be. They suddenly find the demand for goods and services with supply not catching up. So again, prices are going up. She said, I don't buy chicken anymore. I don't buy meat anymore. I just eat tuna. But again, go back to the White House and their latest economic spokesman they want to put out to take all the bullets and catch the arrows. Jared Bernstein, White House Economic Counsel, is how we're so concerned about Americans.
What we're most interested is how is the American middle class and lower income families faring in an economy that has some real headwinds from price pressures, but some real tailwinds from consumer spending and from our very strong labor market. So we'll be evaluating the report with those contexts in mind.
Yeah. Well, I just told you how it's affecting a common American. This is in your blue state of California. When she moved to what she thought might be, she got out of the big city and got to Riverside where they thought maybe things would be better, but the inflation rate is officially 9.1% or 4% annual inflation as of last May, the highest in the nation. And she has no way to make that change at this time. And Senator Kennedy of Louisiana said the solution is basically a lot of different avenues to go down here. But the bottom line solution, stop spending. It's that clear and that distinct. We don't have an understanding in the White House of this. We don't have an understanding of this in Congress. We will have legislators elected that when I get to Congress, I'm going to shut all this down. We're going to turn off the spigot, and they may really mean well. But they get in there, and they find sometimes they're stymied by the swamp. Sometimes they get in there and realize, well, it's different now that I'm in here. And not because suddenly they're a member of Congress, but, you know, it just looked like it'd be a lot easier to take it and make it happen. And that's the same thing about any man, and maybe in the future a woman, who becomes president. They talk about how they're going to do it, but once they get in there, they realize it's not that easy. And there are a lot of people depending on you. And I don't care what your political stripe is. You should pray for our president, even Biden, and the VP and the other leaders of houses and Congress, that they are making good decisions on behalf of American people. First, we are Americans, are we not? That's where you should begin. I've told you before, and I had a discussion with a friend just last night. I have relatives, one very, very close, that I've been told, do not bring up Trump to her or anything about conservative. Well, this relative is very close to me, and I love her and her family. And I am not going to allow politics to separate us. Now, if she chose to separate from me because of politics, that'll be her choice. Same thing with friends. I have some very good friends. They're 180 degrees from my political views. 180 degrees even on abortion, and I will not yield on abortion. But we do have a lot of other things still in common. And if some of them could have a logical discussion, then we could proceed. But unfortunately, they can't. You start putting facts in front of them, you simply raise questions, and suddenly they resort back to the race card, the homosexual card, the homophobic card, whatever they can do instead of dealing with the facts. We do have too much division in this nation. I had a friend again last night. We're talking about, you know, decades ago, we grew up and maybe saw maybe one black kid in his school. We mostly Hispanics where he lived, same with me. But I still didn't see a difference in color of skin. They were friends. We can get back to that if we quit trying to divide each other. But, of course, the January 6th committee continues, and so does the Hunter Biden escalation.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So there seem to be, of course, even more developments as they slowly break out regarding Hunter Biden and his connection to the Papa Biden, and not just recently, but over the years. And even CNN has now suddenly had to admit, you know, there's something here that's worth noting. And when I get to that in a moment, it's funny, and yet it's not. Because what it proves is, again, that if you're not a member of the Biden family, you don't really amount to much. Let's just be very direct about that. You just don't amount to that much. They're not going to worry about you. You can just suffer all you want, and that's just fine with them. Miranda Devine, who wrote the book Laptop from Hell, which documented a lot of what was on the laptop. And remember when it came out in the New York Post, all the other major media just shut it down, walked away from it, did not want to discuss it, doesn't exist, it's all propaganda. And now we've seen letters and information from Senator Grassley and Johnson saying they have whistleblowers coming to them and more wanting to come forward. And they want to simply say how the administration was using the FBI, the Attorney General, the Department of Justice in total to basically weaponize it against Trump, keep him from winning, and when he won, to weaponize it to get him out of office, to get him impeached, and then when all that failed, to weaponize it again against Biden. In the sense that they did not even acknowledge that Biden had been doing anything with Hunter and that it was real, the laptop was real, until 14, 15 months or later after the election. When they knew the month before the election, they could say the same thing, but they didn't, because it would be damning to Joe Biden's election. The New York Post is going back over some of the details of that previous piece and again say everything shows that President Joe Biden was the big guy in the 2017 mail email, and that he was basically giving money or putting money aside or said he would for the big guy. That was clear reference to Joe Biden. And yet Joe Biden had insisted repeatedly, I don't know anything about my son's business. I never talked to him about it. And yet that showed up on an email on the laptop from hell, a voicemail where Joe Biden called Hunter in 2018 and said, I think you're clear. And, of course, if he said, I think you're clear, it also meant that Joe Biden would be cleared. But it's not over yet, and to their credit, Senators Grassley and Johnson continue pursuing it. And if they get in charge again of the Senate and the House, there will be a full inquiry, as there should be. And if it's wrong, if it's all fiction like it was the Steele dossier, fine, expose it as that. But I don't think that's going to be proven this time. But I mentioned that CNN and NNN had suddenly decided to jump in on some of the Hunter laptop as well. They finally got around to discussing about things that Hunter Biden was doing and admitting he had a high-end income and lavish lifestyle and that he struggled with tax issues for years. Well, that's old news. There's nothing there. But buried down in the story, the assistant for Hunter Biden at that time said, I'm trying to figure out what to do about the bills. She listed a series of payments that Hunter Biden owed, including health insurance, a car payment, her salary. His response, pay the health care, pay the Porsche, and he suggested you need to pay yourself half of your salary, because we're not getting a lot of money coming in nowadays. And some is going to some other people. So she worked beside him, did all of this, and she's put behind the Porsche. Pay the Porsche. Pay my health insurance, but you just take a half of what you're due. The woman's described it, she's not a wealthy exec, obviously. She's a secretary assistant. But here you got to have Hunter. I got to drive the Porsche. I can't be seen in a Buick or some Ford or something. I got to have that car. And just give yourself enough money so you can get on the bus. Pretty much what it came down to. Well, coming up, the January 6th committee hearing continues and continues and continues like a bad, bad movie and sequels.
At LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Based upon everything we know from public sources, including most notably the January 6th hearings, I believe that an aggressive prosecutor would be willing to take on the case against Donald Trump for participation in a seditious conspiracy for violation of the insurrection statute. In my opinion, January 6th was the very definition of an insurrection.
Well, those are the words of former government official and serving as Secretary of Homeland Security from 2013 to 2017. And he says that Donald Trump, obviously, by everything I've seen just from the January 6th committee, He apparently doesn't have anything inside or any additional information that he can surmise just by watching the January 6th committee rehash the same old stuff over and over again and say, we're going to have more witnesses coming. We're going to have to now carry it into fall. And the one witness that they made a big deal out of in the beginning, well, not really in the beginning, down in it a ways, they brought her out like, this is our smoking gun. A staffer for Mark Meadows, who was chief of staff under Trump, saying that Donald Trump wrestled with the Secret Service and the beast, the big limo car, and tried to choke the agent and grab control of the steering wheel and drive it to the Capitol instead of the White House. And they didn't question her. They didn't vet her. They didn't ask, do you have any supporting evidence? That she did tell them she was told that by someone else. In other words, admitting, I wasn't in the car. And the person she quoted is telling her later when he heard about it, he was not called to testify. Still hasn't been. So that's not, I didn't say that. I never said that. And the two FBI agents say the same thing. They're not being called. Well, I wonder why. Now, you could say, well, maybe they're trying to cover their own, you know what, and they're going to lie on behalf of Trump. Why would they do that? Why would they perjure themselves for Trump at this point? He's not even president where he could pardon them if they were found guilty of perjury. And do not expect Biden to give any Trump supporter or anyone on his side any pardon. But here you have the former Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, on MSNBC, based on everything I've seen in the January 6th committee, and all he has seen is what you have seen if you have bothered to watch the thing. And their numbers are low because nobody really cares. And they keep dragging it on and on. But that one witness suddenly shot to the top. And even Brett Baer of Fox News said, I found it compelling and what powerful testimony. And that very day, I said, Brett, you are smarter than that. That is hearsay testimony. That would not even be allowed in an actual court. If you're not party to it, witness to it, and if you're going to lie, then you're going to call in the supporting evidence, the one she quotes. They have not been called. But again, he is one of those so hell-bent on destroying Trump and any Trump supporter. Look at Trump's guilty of insurrection, and you can prove it. Go into it. Go ahead. But so far you haven't. If you had, you would have shown all of it by now. We wouldn't be still spinning around waiting for the next edition of As the January 6th Committee Turns. You've got a soap opera, but you got no soap. And when he starts looking at what he claims Trump is guilty of, he said, that's as clear as insurrection as anything I know. He's ignoring how the FBI and the DOJ and the Attorney General's office have been weaponized when Clinton was running against Trump and again when Biden was running against Trump, and whistleblowers are coming forward with their information. And you know he's heard those stories as well, too. He apparently still doesn't know any more than what we have read and seen either. But those sound more alarming and concerning about an insurrection of overthrowing the government, a coup d'etat, basically, behind the scenes. But again, Jay Johnson, former Homeland Security Secretary, says look to Trump.
Donald Trump lit the match that started the conflagration. There were moments during January 6th where he blew the poured gasoline on the fire, and he was the commander-in-chief of all the firemen and failed to call them in. I believe that we're well within the range of potential criminal liability if an aggressive prosecutor is willing to take that on. Chris, I respect and admire what Gerald Ford did in 1974, 75, sparing the country the prosecution of Richard Nixon. I think we live in different times right now. An argument could be made that if there is an indictable case against the former president, yet we fail to prosecute him, we may be doing more harm to our democracy than if we forbear. It's a different time now. And in my judgment, the actions that occurred during the Trump presidency around January 6th and before were actually far more serious than Watergate.
Right, right. In my judgment. And if he said if a serious prosecutor, that means a partisan prosecutor. A serious prosecutor would have said that woman's testimony about Trump grabbing the wheel and attacking the agents, unless she were in the car, her testimony is not allowed. It's hearsay. And if you're going to allow it, you're going to have to call the other people in and see if they verify or say, no, she was lying. Speaking of lying, Ellie Mastal is a justice correspondent for MSNBC. And he's been watching, of course, this January 6th stuff going on because it's just they're just like they're like dogs salivating. When they can smell the aroma of the food, it's going to be good. We're going to be just hurry up, get it. We're ready. We'll eat it right now. We don't need it cooked like you people. We're ready right now. And they're salivating and they're waiting. And Ellie Mastal says, you can't even trust Republicans anyway.
These people lie for a living. All they know how to do is lie. If they're not under oath, everything they say should be viewed as a lie. If Donald Trump says, I had a cheeseburger for dinner, what should happen next is a voiceover saying, NBC News cannot confirm whether or not Trump got the cheeseburger or the chicken nuggets in his Happy Meal. I mean, we have to independently verify everything they say because all they do is lie. That's all they know how to do.
Yeah, okay. And so we brought up the same thing, referenced the former CIA director and intelligence director when they were appearing on CNN and NN when the charges were against Trump while he was in office for Russian collusion and things of that nature. And they would go out and tell the American people on those networks, oh, it's bad, it's bad. We can't give you details what we told and shared, but the information, it's bad. If somebody's going to pay for it, it's going to be really, really bad. And then when the transcripts are released for you to see what they were saying, when they were being asked, what do you know about it? I don't know anything. Never heard anything. And they were under oath at that point. So the very claim that Ellie Mastal is making about Republicans is exactly what they did at that point. Oh, and Ellie's allowing that some Republicans, some of you, you might actually have a little bit of George Washington, yes, I cut down the cherry tree attitude in you.
Are there individual Republicans who do seem to have some measure of integrity? Yes, there are individual humans who are able to, when the rubber meets the road, come find something within themselves that resembles integrity and push it. But in terms of like that being a wing of the party, are you kidding me? That they just don't know how to operate like that. And again, this goes back to our kind of media training and our media like understanding. So we have to be able to listen to the news critically, understand that lying liars lie and will continue to lie.
Where does your media training knowledge come and how do you treat it when someone tells you they were born a boy but now they're a girl? When they tell you there are about 54 different genders of people when there are only two genders? Well, where does your media training come in to say that's got to be a lie or a joke because it ain't the truth? As one congressman recently said, try milking a steer and find out. Coming up, a transgender psychologist. You want to hear what she says.
podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and remind you, if you were listening or watching the program in the beginning at, on our rumble.com, we had technical difficulties. Electric got cut off to the facility here for a while, but we got that back up. Supposedly it's running fine. I haven't had a chance to check it. I know I'm suddenly having trouble with my computer, even loading up with the new stories I was looking for. So I don't know how big the problem is, but as long as we're here together, it's all good. This is far from the days of the wagon train and fighting off vultures and coyotes and things of that nature. All right. Monkeypox. I know you said, I don't care about that. Well, you might end up having to care about it because New York City is, well, first of all, let's begin with Dr. Fake. Yes, he's still around, and he is admitting, yes, we may have to declare an emergency regarding monkeypox. Our nation has more cases of monkeypox reported than any nation in the world. And the World Health Organization the other day said it is a global concern, a global emergency. And in New York City, they're asking for it to be declared a New York City emergency. And the same thing in the California area, particularly around San Francisco. And they're working on a vaccine, and they've got people lining up for vaccines, and there's a shortage. There's not enough testing and vaccine. And this is happening on Joe Biden's watch. And also in New York, they're saying you need to rename it. The name itself is stigmatizing. It's not so much the name, it's how it is basically transmitted. And I had it up before it got killed on my screen, and that is that they had put out a pictorial showing you that it can be transmitted by anything someone infected. If they touch it, if their lesions are leaking and so forth, they touch a sheet or clothing, and it can be transmitted that way. But generally stated, and this is the most specific way to transmit monkeypox, is through sex. And it's created and primarily done by men having sex with men. That is causing the stigma, not so much the name, but because that's the fact of how the case is basically transmitted. So they're not going to get all the support and all the things that they wanted that we saw with COVID. They may try, but it's not going to go very far. And the World Health Organization, its recommendation is, men, you should have fewer sex partners, men partners, and then make sure you know who they are. It's a sad commentary where we are in our nation, isn't it? We went through this with AIDS and finally got that under control, and now we have this monkeypox which came out of Africa, and how it originated, I don't even want to go there. There's a transgender woman, she identifies herself as a transgender woman, who's a clinical psychologist, Erica Anderson. She is the former president of the U.S. Professional Association for Transgender Health. Hear this. She believes that parents have the right to know everything and anything their children are going through in school, including so-called transitioning from one sex to another. My God, here is someone who is speaking common sense. Again, she identifies as a transgender, but also as a psychologist. And she says it's important that parents know what's going on with their children. Well, that's not flying very well in the face of those who say, no, they're our children when they're in our care and they're in the school. Biden told us they are. Biden said when those kids are in our classes, they're our children. No, they're not your children. But she's saying that right now, she said, I think we ultimately want parents and educators collaborating on what's best for every child. So what you need to do is make sure the parents are included. She added that, I've been very vocal about this for some time, the concern that professionals are too quick to facilitate transitions and even medication. This is her speaking, not me. She's been critical of that. She said, I think we have to distinguish between the ordinary exploration of identity that kids go through, especially adolescents and gender questioning, and distinguish that from transgender identity or need to transition. She said someone 8 or 9 years old or even 12 or 13, they're still a child, and parents are owed the courtesy of knowing what's going on with their child. That's what we need to be doing now. The doctor is correct. And children that young, as she said too many times, other doctors say, okay, let's just quickly rush them in, start anti-puberty blocking drugs right now. Or puberty blocking drugs. I mean, it's just, they don't bother really making an exam. The child doesn't feel that way. Okay, let's make it change for them. Thank you, as always, for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.